Hey guys, welcome to Shaylee and Katie, the podcast. We are coming to you from Springfield, Missouri. Shaylee, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I am doing great. Spring is here.
Yeah, birds every time chirping. We record, it's a beautiful day.
It's a beautiful day. Coincidence? Like,
strangely. I think that it means we're supposed to be doing this.
Absolutely. Because you can't do a podcast in bad weather.
No. No, it would be terrible.
No. Okay, so I'm so excited about today's episode because today Shaylee is going to share with us her brilliant wisdom about home decor tips, design tips, which I need. I need them so much. I feel like I get so overwhelmed when if I look at like a blank room, which I am because I just moved. I'm like, I don't even know where to start. So Shaylee's going to help us common listeners out there. Hopefully I'm not the only one.
Stop it.
Know where to start. But before we get to that, we of course have to mention our amazing sponsor.
Oh yeah. Our sponsor this episode
is Target. Ever heard of it?
It's our biggest one that we've so had.
So humbling.
Yet. The biggest one. Like they're
I can't believe
legit.
They even know who we are.
Target, they're one of our
favorite
places.
It's almost unbelievable.
It's almost like you would think they wouldn't want to sponsor us.
I know.
But
and yet here
they are.
Okay, so Target. Gosh, we need some taglines for Target.
Oh, Target.
Target. Everything. I want it.
Put it in the cart.
Target.
Where did all my money go, Target? I bought a $5 drink to walk around and spend more money I don't have.
Target. Target, I came here for a toothbrush and I left with all of Nate Berkus and no toothbrush. Oops.
Oh,
Target.
I love Target.
Target, I love you. I love you so much. I feel like I need to mention to you and to the world that you're not an actual sponsor.
No, but we love Target.
We love you. Anyway.
So we're putting the cart before the horse.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just going to go ahead and push Target. And then they're going to be like, hey,
I think
girls are doing this for free, so we should probably pay them.
I don't think that's how it works. I think this is a reverse sponsor where we just give all of our money to Target.
I think that's what. Right, Target doesn't give us money. Mm. We pay Target.
Yeah. Is that how sponsorships work? I don't know. I'll look it up.
I think so.
I need to look it up on Wikipedia. Okay.
We'll wiki it.
So, Shaylee, you've got a degree in interior design, right? Is that what we call it?
I do. Interior design.
Yeah, cool.
To break down a fun fact.
Yeah, tell me.
I'm not one that cares about the titles, but technically an interior decorator is someone who does decoration and design and doesn't have a degree. And an interior designer is someone who has a 4-year degree.
Interesting.
Yeah, so some designers get a little touchy if someone's like, this is my decorator.
Right.
And they're like, I don't care because I didn't know before I went to school for it. So why would I expect anyone else to?
That's good to know, though. I will for sure call you a designer.
You did.
Forever now. Good.
I wouldn't have said it if you didn't.
All
I would
right.
just let you run. And for the record, a lot of people that did not go to school, I feel like, are more talented than a lot of people I know who did go to school.
Yeah, you just never know.
There's no harm in either.
Yeah, I like it. Okay, so let's say I have just moved into a house. Hypothetically, moved into a farmhouse.
Yes.
And I mean, obviously, I've got some furniture and things from the other house,
mm-hmm.
but, like, where do you even start? Where do you even start? You just start picking out paint? What? What the heck?
Yeah, well, it's a very good question. It's one I get a lot, and I think that a lot of times people will go out to, like, Kirkland's and Target and wherever and buy all of these things they like,
mm-hmm.
like trinkets. So they almost start where they should end, and mm-hmm. they buy all of these little things. And my sister's guilty of doing this. I give her a really hard time. And she invited me over and was like, I have all this stuff. Help me mm-hmm. decorate it with my house. And I'm like, well, first of all, you had no plan. You just bought a bunch of stuff. And then that's when it gets kind of hodgepodge.
Okay.
So first is knowing what your style is.
How do you know what your style is?
That's a good question. Well,
can you just tell me what my style is?
No, because everyone is so different. And that's kind of one of the tips I have. So if I was laying out like beginning tips of figuring out, you know, your style and different things in your house, not everyone's style is the same. It shouldn't be. Your home should be a reflection of you. So just like not every person's the same, not every personality's the same, your home should be somewhere that you feel comfortable and has items and a sort of little vibe that reflects you and makes you feel good and comfortable and like you're at home.
What if I just want my style to be your style?
Well, you can do that too. In the age of all of the social media worlds, I sometimes feel like, why do people hire me? Because you could literally like Google cool mid-century modern living rooms and just start flipping through pictures and kind of piece it together, which I realize coming from me, that's easier to do than it is for some people. You know, some people, it's really overwhelming. And so I have to kind of remember that it's not always easy for everybody.
Okay, well, let's say I really, truly don't have an inkling for what my style is or what it's called or whatever. Like, do you think, like, going on Pinterest and just pinning things you like with no strategy, is that a good place to start? And then you can kind of help me say... strategy,
but yes. Yeah.
Help me say, that's what this is called.
And I don't think that everyone... Here's the other thing is, don't put yourself in a box. So you can mix styles more than you think.
Okay.
So do more than you think, but don't do everything would be like my next point if I had a second point. So saying... like, I like French country, or I like mid-century modern, and 100% of your house is just that.
Right.
Usually, if you see a picture in a magazine, or a picture on Pinterest, or whatever, or you walk into a space that you're like, oh my goodness, it's a mix of all different kinds of styles kind of put together. The rules have been broken, and that's why it's so unique and aesthetically pleasing, is because it's not just one style. So even if you really like, you know, shabby chic stuff, and you have, you know, all that white kind of whatever,
the, like, flecked rubbed paint off stuff.
Flecked paint wood, you know, you can still mix it with some more contemporary.
You can do that?
Artwork. Oh yeah.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Flecked paint and contemporary artwork.
I can see it in my head.
You can?
Depending on the piece of furniture that has the flecked paint, I suppose.
Is that a real term?
I don't think so. I don't think that's a real term. Okay, so experiment and take risks, but don't go all crazy.
Okay.
Let me see. Don't be afraid to break the rules. So we kind of talked about that.
Can you explain? Okay. I'm like, I'm a rookie here.
No, this is good.
Pro.
Whatever.
How would I even know, like, in a word, mid-century modern? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I do like that style, but I didn't know it was called that until I was like, I like the things with the tapered legs. Like, that was my first.
I like the Mad Men skinny tapered legs.
Yeah, but really, I think it was like just finally figuring out, why am I always drawn to the thing, like the dressers that don't have handles.
Well, that would be, you shouldn't know if you haven't studied that. Right. Then why on earth would you know unless you watch a whole lot of HGTV, which in some ways could be more harm than good. But I think a lot of times you just see things that you like and you know, I like that. And then along the way you start seeing it enough to where you pick up maybe what the name is. Mm-hmm. Or you could even Google it, you know, Google different.
What's tapered legs mean?
What's tapered legs? Mid-century modern.
Ah, there it is.
No. Or you could get, I mean, even going to Barnes & Noble and flipping through a design book or, you know, buying, they have, like, Domino has a really awesome design book that I love. And you can even flip through it and they break it down real easy of, like, this is, you know, Baroque.
Okay, so if someone's not hiring an interior designer, you think maybe getting a book or something like that might be helpful?
Nothing replaces hiring an interior designer. No, I'm just kidding. Yes, a book, totally.
Yeah.
And a lot of people with really good taste will hire me, and I can't figure out what they need me for because they're awesome. But a lot of times people just want to talk through a plan.
Right.
They want to have a buddy that can say yay or nay and maybe throw out a few ideas and, you know, make them feel confident in their decisions. So definitely be confident. Experiment, take risks. Don't be afraid to break the rules. And really just... I don't know. It's so overwhelming for people. So I think figuring out what your style is by a mix of styles. And if you don't know even what style it is, you know, maybe looking up different interior design styles.
Yeah.
And then looking at the six or whatever and pulling which styles you kind of like.
Yeah.
So just kind of knowing that will help you kind of act like a timeline or an anchor, a trunk of the tree, per se. to kind of pull from. So don't just go buy the little knickknacks first. Figure out kind of what your game plan is for the big picture first. Which, when I sat with you, you had done. You kind of knew that you liked industrial mixed with natural fabrics and stuff mixed with mid-century.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Yeah. I have that book you talked about.
You do?
I have the Domino book.
You got the Domino. Our other sponsor is the Domino Design book. Let's see. Okay. So more under just kind of the tips of the mixing styles and everything. Get inspiration from places other than just interiors. So even looking outside of like interior design books or different people, it's so easy to scroll through and look at other people's houses,
right?
You know, on Instagram. And I'm totally guilty of that, of being like, oh, I want my house to look just like this.
Right.
Well, a lot of times, like, you kind of have to work with what you have. So budgets are different. The architecture of the space is going to be different. The natural lighting is different. Floor plans are different.
Right.
So even if you said, make my thing exactly like this picture, odds are you're not going to be able to because your space doesn't lend itself to that. So you kind of have to be a little bit of flex.
There's not
a little bit
like,
of flexibility in
there's not like an exposed brick wall with like
but I
stained
want
glass
it.
Window.
Get me faux brick. Yeah. No, don't do faux brick. Get inspired from other places. So nature, travel, artwork. A lot of times when I've been traveling, like you'll see cool things from a different culture that kind of looks like we've tried to recreate it at Kirkland's or something, you know, like kind of Italy. So not like that kind of travel where it's themed, but just, you know, a piece of fabric or artwork or lighting or something that you see out there. So you can kind of use things that, when you see them, they like are life-giving and make you happy and you're like, ooh, that's so pretty.
So you you go traveling, we know that you travel a lot. Do you get do you collect something from like each place that you go?
I do. And usually I have camera equipment with me and so I'm like forbidden from getting anything. It's torture. So I'll like sneak like candlesticks or something in my backpack.
Will you pay for them though?
Oh, yes. I don't shoplift the I purchase them from the Kind National and then I'm more shoplift them in front of my husband. Like, he doesn't want me to buy them.
Right.
Right, that sounded really bad. But I got out of the country, so they can't find me now. No, it's more about weight and that kind of thing, bringing stuff home.
Okay, so I have a, I'm going to pause and I'm going to clarify something.
Yes.
Okay, so you said maybe not necessarily themey.
Yes.
Because I've heard a lot of people who might instinctively kind of think, like, I'm going to do sort of like an Italian theme for my kitchen. And then they'll buy like maybe little, like a little, I don't know, saying that's like ciao or like, I don't know. They'll do
like a chef
red,
man.
Yeah, like a red checkered tablecloth, things like that. So you're saying maybe if you you're wanting something Italian, go with one piece.
Here's the thing. If you love Italy and that makes you all warm and fuzzy to have white and red checkered, you know, Italian man with a little chef's hat on and whatever, go for it.
Right.
But it's probably not going to be, like, featured in Home and Garden magazine.
Fair. That's fair.
So I'm not saying you can't do that, but I don't think that it would be considered necessarily good design.
Well, let's say someone loves Italy
and
does want to be featured, but also wants to represent their love for Italy.
Yes. Okay, yeah. So when I think of Italy, I think of really cool, like, architectural ruins and all sorts of things. So you could use, you know, larger, like, stone columns or pillars or some sort of, like, a bust of something. You think of historical artifacts and that type of thing. So you could use, you know, natural woods and stones and bricks. And then you could pick paint colors that kind of match the paint peeled off the buildings. And
you don't have to have an Italian man who's saying, ciao.
Ciao, bella.
Okay.
No.
See, pop
with
quiz.
Spaghetti.
Guess what?
What?
You pass.
Ugh. You just have to sound like you know what you're doing.
You pass.
Thanks, thanks. I say stay away from, like, bed in a bag. And none of this applies for children. If you want, like, your kid to have a Paris theme and the whole thing's, like, you know, Neapolitan colors, whatever. But if you go to the store...
Okay.
And the stores are getting really good at it. But there's, like, this pillow matches this comforter.
Right.
That matches this throw. And that matches all of these candlesticks and knickknacks. And, like, you buy all of that.
Right.
It looks really good together. And there's not necessarily anything wrong with it. But you can kind of tell, I went to the store in the same aisle and bought all of these things that match.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, all 9 of my throw pillows on my bed all match my bedspread. And it's not bad.
Right.
But I think sometimes to make it a more polished, well-designed look, you have to pick different textures and patterns that almost contrast with it a little bit and play with the color to give it a more polished look.
Yeah.
So you almost have to, like, deconstruct the bed in the bag and reconstruct using interesting things. So it's a lot of, I don't know. I say dress your home like you dress yourself. And I realize I might maybe dress a little bit stranger than some people.
I love the way you dress.
Wow.
That's going to be a next episode.
Ooh.
Teach me how to dress like you.
Teach me how to dress. But you think of, like, your outfit. Or, like, if I'm getting dressed, I try to think, you know, what's one thing, like, if it's, like, kind of a plain dress, then I might wear, like, bright tights with it.
Mm-hmm.
Or, but, you know, then if it's, like, I'm wearing a headband or a cardigan or something that's kind of bright, then I won't wear bright tights. Then I'd wear, you know, more neutral, whatever.
And you do your house the same way? It's like, neutrals with a pop of something fancy?
Yeah, pops of color, the way that you accessorize. And I always say, with, like, and this isn't, like, I'm going to Walmart, so I want everyone to notice how cute I look in my outfit. Not, like, all the time, but if you're going somewhere nice, like an event or whatever, on a date night, I always try to wear one thing that someone would be, like, oh, that's an interesting bracelet, or that's an interesting pair of shoes, you know, or something that's kind of, like, a conversation piece.
A statement piece.
Ooh. There you go. So the same thing with your house. Like, every room someone would walk in, you would have, like, a piece of artwork or a piece of whatever. I'm all for mirrors and pictures of your family, but that's kind of, like, the cop-out.
Right.
Of, like, maybe I'll print off, like, 25 black and white pictures of our family and, like, put them all over my house, and that's all I'm going to fill my house with. Or mirrors everywhere. And I have mirrors, and I have pictures of my family up in my house, but also doing art that's not, like, the pre-wrapped canvas that you get.
You have a lot of local artists in your house, right?
Yeah, and it's not expensive. I mean, if you want to spend a lot on art, you can, but you can also find the really talented, like, college student that's selling something at the local coffee shop.
Yeah.
That's, like, you know, maybe it's more than Target, but, you know, in the $50 to $100 range or $150 range.
Right, and then you're supporting someone who's learning and all
you're
that.
You're supporting someone who's learning, and then it's, like, a one-of-a-kind piece. So, yeah, that and that's something that someone would walk in and say, oh, wow, so cool, where'd you... We have pictures of the presidents. We have George Washington and Abe Lincoln, and I think they're two of, like, the most complimented pieces of art in our house. And, we got them in a coffee shop from a local artist.
That's really cool. Okay, so then I guess my question would be, like, the statement piece, you don't start with that, though, huh?
Not necessarily. Okay, so one of the other points that I wanted to make is to take your time with it. So I think in the area of immediate order a pizza and it's right there, I, you know, take a picture and it's already on social media,
right.
I watch HGTV and within an hour their entire house is completely redone.
Right.
So I think people get impatient, and I think to have a really well done space, you have to take your time to find the pieces that you love. So, it's like finding a mate, Katie.
Oh my gosh, tell me.
You're waiting for the perfect piece, and it needs to be something that's worth it. It will be worth the wait if you wait for it, and when it's right, you'll know.
And for you, that means flea markets and travel and...
Well, and then that's the other thing about different price points. I think, and that goes the same kind of with dressing yourself as dressing your house. But if you have a really nice leather couch that, like, you find on clearance somewhere, but it's, like, you know, worth a lot or something, and you want to invest in that because that's, like, going to be the anchor piece of the room, then you can mix that with a bunch of bronze little candlesticks that you find at, like, an estate sale, and you can group them together and... something, you know, if you mix less expensive pieces with more expensive pieces, it kind of makes everything seem like it's
Right.
Worth more.
I love that.
Yeah.
So then, like, what if you're, like, I feel like my house still feels so empty. What if you're, like, I feel like I get panicky when I want to have friends over. And then I feel like I apologize. I'm like, well, I'm not quite done. I'm not quite done with this room. Is there things you do to make the room feel polished in the meantime?
Yeah, as you're waiting for the right piece.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can. And I kind of rotate things through. I've had a long time of acquiring. Right. When we first got married, it was pretty much like all garage sale and like thrift store and mm-hmm. vintage. We call them vintage, aka like garage sale stuff. Mm-hmm. So then as I did kind of replacing. So you're right. Okay. There was like a quick fix. So it's like, hey, I'm going to run and get this canvas from, you know, Hobby Lobby and paint it just mm-hmm. yellow.
Right.
And I'm going to get four of them, and I'm going to hang them on this huge wall that I have that's empty, and those are going to be there until I can find something huge that I love mm-hmm. That can take up that space.
Is that a real example?
Yes.
Were they plain yellow? I'm just curious.
Yeah, they're plain yellow. And then I painted them green when I got sick of yellow.
Oh, that's
and then
cool.
One time I tried to do, like, an abstract thing and uh-huh. quickly painted it another solid color because it
you
looked
wanna
like
know my
a
cop out for that?
Caterpillar.
What? I had my daughter paint a bunch of abstract paintings.
I think you bought.
I did. My old yellow ones.
My old canvases at my garage sale.
But you know what's fun about that?
What?
Is then people are like, oh, those are interesting. And I'm like, my 5-year-old painted those. And I don't have to.
And then you're like, idiot.
I don't have to feel insecure that I tried to paint something because I just made her.
No, that's totally good. It's child abstract. But that's a perfect example of like filling. You can fill up the space in the meantime.
Right.
Even when it's in transition phase. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then wait for pieces that you love. Let me see.
So, Callie, I'm just telling you.
Callie?
Your canvas, it's going to be gone soon. As soon as I find a better piece.
Okay, now talking about having Callie paint canvases in your house moves me to my next point.
Tell me.
It's the DIY.
Yeah.
In the age of DIYs.
Totally.
You can do it yourself. But if you do it all yourself, we can probably tell.
Mm.
So the point is, I don't know, here's an example.
Yeah, let's hear
from
it.
Somebody close to me in my life, maybe myself. You do one thing.
Your friend.
You're like, there's a girl I know. You get this piece of furniture or whatever, and you're like, I'm going to paint this yellow or mm-hmm. whatever. And you paint it yellow, and it turns out really awesome. And you're like, oh my gosh, this looks so cool. And then everyone's like, that table's so neat. Did you paint that? And you're like, I did. I painted that yellow. Isn't it awesome? And then you post it on Facebook, and everyone, like, goes crazy about how cool this yellow, like, end table is that you painted.
Okay.
Great. All good. Don't go paint every piece of furniture in your whole house a color. Everything, including, like, the couch legs and, like, your coffee table and, like, your kitchen cabinet.
Is this still a real example?
I didn't go that far. But, you know, it's like too much of a good thing.
Right.
So if you do that and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, cute, I can, like, hang wire and, like, hang my kids' pictures mm-hmm. from it. Totally cute idea. But then don't go crazy and, like, do the same thing in a different variation 8 places around right. your house because it looked really good in one area.
Right.
So DIYs usually... You know, unless you're, like, a craftsman,
mm-hmm.
then 70-30, I say. 70% maybe not yourself.
Oh, okay.
And 30% maybe do it yourself.
Whole house or per room or all of it? All of the above?
I'd say all the above. I mean, if it's, like, a craft room or a, right. you know, a kid's art room or something like that, then, you know, whatever.
Right.
But as far as, like... Remember the crackle paint
yeah.
and everything? I just think that sometimes in the age of Pinterest,
right,
we've gone a little
too DIY.
Too DIY. And a lot of times, honestly, because I would say I'm a crafty person, I'll spend a lot of time on something and it turns out looking like decent, mm-hmm. but like not perfect.
Yeah.
And I didn't necessarily enjoy doing it. I stayed up like really late and valuable time that I could have been spending doing something else.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll realize I could have bought it for literally the same price as, like, the materials.
Right, yeah.
So then I'm like, why was I trying to do this myself? Like,
right, yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, if that's, like, a stress relief and you enjoy crafting and whatever,
good
you
point.
Know, go for it. But maybe don't fill your whole house with, like, you know, Pinterest projects.
Mm-hmm.
So, but some of them are okay.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of them are cool.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else do I have
I did
for
this,
you?
I did this thing myself. A DIY.
You did this. What'd you DIY?
I did this Italian chef that said ciao Bella.
No, you didn't.
And I put it in my Italian themed
Did you?
Room, or no, kitchen.
Your Italian theme living room where you serve spaghetti every night.
Yeah, and then on one wall I did just a black and white photo wall of my kids, and then on the other wall I did this really cool crackle paint, and then right in the center I did a dining room table that I painted yellow, and I painted all of the chairs around it yellow.
Oh.
So is that like 70-30?
I think that's close.
Okay.
It's close.
Good.
I'd have to see it.
So you know? You'd say probably I'm nailing it?
You're nailing all your DIY.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm glad we had this talk. DIYs.
So down to editing your space. Editing all those DIYs.
It sounds like I'm good.
It sounds like you're one yellow chair too much. So one of my favorite quotes, not like ever, but that I just keep in my mind, is Coco Chanel. She always said, there's a quote from Coco Chanel, and she said, before you leave the house, look in the mirror and take off one thing.
Coco.
Coco? Because sometimes I think...
What if you're wearing a one-piece bathing suit?
I think you can forego Coco's
Coco,
advice.
I found a loophole.
Keep it on! Oh
but
my
she
goodness.
Said.
Only Coco said. I'm sure the police would be fine with that excuse from Coco Chanel. So I'm guilty of this too, but you kind of like get in the groove of like decorating, and then you're like, and this area rug looks awesome, and like these couches and this artwork, and like, oh, I'm vibing. And then like it gets like too much.
Mm-hmm.
And you just keep adding more and more stuff.
Yeah.
And my husband usually is the one who will walk by. It was him like adding like the other pillow and like the big throw quilt or something, and he's like, it's looking a little like
cluttered or
too much.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, what do you mean? Like, I feel like this in the baby nursery. I did like 1940s wallpaper and like a bright yellow crib and like airy rug and all this stuff, and then I wanted to paint, which I might still do it, be on the lookout, but I wanted to paint the closet doors. I wanted to be like add a line and do, you know, like a reddish fuchsia-y pink below and then
cool.
like white above and maybe like an angular line if I got real fancy. And he was like, the wallpaper's like eyeball bleed and that's right next to it. Like, you don't need to do the door, just leave it white.
And he's not an interior designer.
No, he's like a backseat designer.
That's funny.
Most women are like, I can do whatever I want. My husband doesn't care. And sometimes I'm envious of that because Jonathan does care. But he usually lands me at a better spot than I would if there was no restraint.
Listen to that.
Yeah.
Iron and sharp and an iron is what
There's
I'm hearing.
There's a lot of life lessons in that. But I'd usually get there. Sometimes you just have to see something to know if it is or isn't going to work.
Mm-hmm.
So I use the example of a hostess. I used to hostess at a sushi place. And I remember I was so excited to learn, like, oh, I'm so excited to figure out, like, how hostesses know, like, how long it's going to take till you get to your table. Like, I thought I'd get there and they'd be like, well, here's the formula.
Right.
You type it into this thing and
right.
it says 15 minutes. And that's how you know to tell the people 15 minutes. And I got there and I'm like, so how do you know if it's 15 minutes versus 20 minutes? And they like looked at me and were like, I mean, you just like guess. If you're,
is
you
that
know,
true?
Yes. And I was like, wait.
I was
like
taken so seriously.
They're pulling that out of their butt. Like, there is absolutely no nothing. Because if you think about it, when you're sitting at a restaurant, you don't know if you're going to, like, eat and scurry
right.
off because you want to catch a movie or if you're going to sit there and chat with your friends over coffee for 45 more minutes.
Right.
Like, they have no idea. So, anyway, so a lot of times the owners would be like, just tell everyone 10 minutes because they didn't want people leaving.
Right.
And I'd be like, no, my head's going to be on the chopping block when they're sitting
right.
there, like, staring daggers. So all of that to say, I think people hold designers in this, like, high esteem of, like, they know all these things. And, like, I don't know anything. But really, it's just kind of trial and error. And
right.
in figuring it out, there's not, like, any sort of magical, you know, thing that I possess or designers possess or people who are good at that. It's just kind of, well, let's try it around and
mm-hmm.
mix different things and not be afraid. And if it doesn't work, you know, I'll be the first one to say, no, oh, that looks weird. Let's scooch
mm-hmm.
the couch back.
Yeah. I do feel, though, like I had a couple of I'll out myself, my goofiness.
Yes.
Guys, I'm going to tell you, first of all, that Italian-themed kitchen I referred to earlier was not true. I didn't actually do that to
okay.
my kitchen. However, I'll tell you a real example of something I'm a little silly at, which is I was having Shaylee help me, like, space plan. And I was like, I think it'd really open the place up if I put the TV on this wall and, like, shove all the furniture against the walls.
Katie, wait, wait. She was so excited.
I was like, look how much it'll open the space. nice. We could have freaking ballroom dances
she
in this.
She had measured and was
measured.
My L-shaped couch fits if I scooch it in the corner right to the right of the fireplace.
Yeah.
Between the front door and the fireplace and
think
the
of all the ballroom dancing lessons and we could host there.
All of the lessons.
But here's what I enjoyed about this, because I know you're trying to kind of make it, it's, you know, there's some of this that's subjective and we don't really know, but what I enjoyed about having, like, running that idea through you is that you went, this is your response, I don't know if you remember.
I don't think
you go,
is.
Okay, incorrect. That's what you said.
No.
And you said, mm-mm, and let me explain why. And you had a reason, and I felt so good after you were done, because I was like, this is correct now. It is. And not that, like, style necessarily is correct or incorrect, but you showed me, this is the traffic pattern.
There are design
This is
principles.
Where people walk through. This is, you know, if you put a TV right. here, when someone goes answer the door, they're standing in front of the TV.
And then
no one
enjoys the fireplace.
No one enjoys the fireplace.
On the wall to your right.
And you kind of painted me a little picture, like, look, if the couch is here, then when you sit on this corner and the fire's on and you're reading a book and blah, 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 and you painted me a little picture. And I'm like, oh, now it all makes sense. So that might seem really obvious to you. And I keep telling her, I'm like, I would have figured it out once I arranged the room.
You probably would have, but you probably would have had the cable run through that wall on that flat screen TV.
Probably.
And then you would have been like, well, this feels a little awkward, but the cable's already
there. The cable's there.
And then it would stay there.
But
forever.
I do think a lot of people, I don't think I'm the only person in the world who thinks their instinct is like, well, let's try to put the furniture right against the wall because I mm-hmm. want to maximize my space. You always like think, well, I want to open it up as much as possible, but you kind that's of have a, taught me that's not true.
Yeah, no, that's kind of a big one. I feel like that people like when they get nervous, like mm-hmm. they just scooch all like the chairs and the couches all the way back up against the wall. And really, if you have a really, really small space, mm-hmm. sometimes that's your best option.
Right.
It really is. So it's not like a never put anything up against a wall. But I have like a long kind of wide living room.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a, you know, pretty long, like rectangular shape.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have one couch up against a wall. You know, I mean, maybe like 6 to 8 inches away from the wall. And then another one is like a good 3 or 4 feet away from the wall.
Right.
And there's nothing behind it except for a window.
I know that
and it
seems so forbidden
anywhere.
To me, and I don't know why. It just feels like
there's a light.
What about
behind
that
it?
Space? What about that space? But even just like
it feels so weird.
Translating
it
to graphic design, like our professors grilled it into our heads, like you have to embrace negative space. It's not successful just to shove things. To fill the space that's not successful.
Mm-hmm. And there's a window back there that it sits pretty low. So if I scooched the, you know, couch all the way up mm-hmm. it would be blocking, like, the window. It would be cutting the window off. And then we have an area rug, which that kind of anchors the room. Mm-hmm. So then the couch, you know, legs. Another pet peeve of mine is teeny weeny area rugs.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom, bless her, goes through area rugs a lot because they have little frou-frou dogs that kind of pee-pee everywhere, which is another whole reason. This is another podcast. But anyway, she had gotten this little rug. It was probably like a 3x5 maybe. Mm-hmm. And they have a pretty big living room. Like they had like a 9x11 in there before.
Okay.
And so it like sat right under the coffee table and stuck out about a foot and a half around the whole coffee table. And I didn't say anything because I'm not going to be like, hey, Mom, this rug looks stupid. So I didn't say anything, but finally, after months and months and months, she got rid of it, and she was like, did you notice I got rid of the old rug? I was like, yeah, I think this one looks a lot better. And I was like, because before it was like your coffee table had an area rug, but the room didn't have an area rug.
Oh, okay.
So you kind of want all the furniture to be able to like get their front paws up
their
on the
front paws.
The front paws on the area rug.
On the
and
area
not
rug.
In every case. Again, there's always rules and exceptions, but
right.
for the most part.
Okay, so, all right, so lead me through here. Lead me through through my problem now.
Okay.
Okay, so I am starting with a room.
You're defining your style.
I'm defining my style.
Mm-hmm.
I want to paint the walls. I want to maybe buy a rug. I want to maybe get a couple new, like, I don't even know, throw pillows. Like, is mm-hmm. there a good first step? Like, how do you decide what color to paint the walls?
So, if you like a lot of color mm-hmm. in your accessories and your artwork and your furniture,
I
if
love
you
it.
Buy a bright yellow couch and you like have all the love of all the colors.
Right. All of them.
Then you're going to want to go real neutral on your walls. You want to do, I mean, I'm a big fan of light gray, white.
Mm-hmm.
White's really popular right now. So in 5 years, it will probably be like, you know, the new small green ivy wallpaper of the 1990s. So right now, white, but I love white.
Yeah.
You know, you can't really go wrong. But any sort of neutral or a light, pastels are really popular right now. Yeah. Dusty pink is the new thing for 2016.
Pantone color of the year.
Pantone color of the year. So, you know, do something kind of neutral. If you want, like...
Would you consider light pink a neutral, though?
I mean, I think that they're kind of considering it a neutral.
Wow.
I mean, if it's light enough, right. It's almost like super a light. Dusty beigey pink.
Right.
But it kind of depends on the rest of your accessories. And I think, for some reason, I feel like when people aren't sure of their style, but they, like, want to push the envelope mm-hmm. of style.
Yeah.
So I think of, like, my brother. Usually it's a bachelor. I don't know why people gravitate towards, like, an accent wall of red.
Right.
With, like, black.
Right.
I feel like that's the go-to for, like, I want it to be edgy.
Right.
I think I'm going to do, like, bright red and, yeah. then, like, black accessories.
Yeah.
And
you want to know who used to have a bright red accent wall?
I don't want to know.
Black accessories.
I don't want to know.
Me.
Oh.
I got all black furniture. I thought it was, like, the most contemporary choice, and now I've sold it all.
Well, and there's, yeah, it's, I feel like that's, like, the staple go-to mm-hmm. for, like,
yeah,
this looks good, and it doesn't look necessarily bad. It's just I think it was very overdone.
It all matches,
and it's very matchy.
Right.
I personally like to get neutral furniture, mm-hmm. Just because couches are expensive, and if mm-hmm. that like bright yellow goes out of style, then you're kind of stuck with it. So,
you go neutral on the expensive items.
I go neutral on the expensive items.
And you go bold on the accessories.
Bold on the accessories.
Or the cheaper items.
And the art. Like I do a bunch of neutral walls, and then. Bright artwork and bright accessories. Now, one thing that's coming back in all the wallpapers. Well, yes. The wallpaper is either cry or rejoice, depending on if they had any other
right.
trade as well. But wallpaper's coming back.
I've seen it all over the blogosphere.
Oh, it's out there.
It's out there.
And there's some really pretty ones.
Oh, yeah.
I've noticed that they're doing a lot of wallpaper for like entryways or accent walls or bathrooms.
One wall of wallpaper is okay. It's mm-hmm. fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, you can do like an accent wall. You could do just like an entryway if there's like a good ending point. Mm-hmm. Like you could do an entryway that like wraps out to one wall of your living room and then stops.
Ooh.
You know, you could go, if you're really feeling it, you can go crazy and wallpaper all over the place. But that's definitely, it's been creeping back in, I think, mm-hmm. for like the last 5 years. And now I think it's like officially back. Like I think this year wallpaper is going to just be all over everywhere.
Sorry, everyone who's about to move into these houses 10 years from now.
Sorry, everyone. Well, what, when they move in from 10 years from now, we're going to put more wallpaper over it. And then 10 years from now, more wallpaper. And then someone, when it goes out, they're going to have to peel through 7 layers like all of us just did.
Oh my.
The last decade.
Gosh, crazy.
Yes.
Okay, so you said to dress your house the way you dress your house. Or,
yeah.
You know, dress your house the way you dress yourself.
Dress your house the way you dress your house.
Yeah, I think that's what you said. No, that's what I said. So I wear jeans and like a white t-shirt.
Yeah.
Like 90% of the time.
But that's
and it's super comfortable. And I do consider myself kind of a minimalist. Like I'd rather just mm-hmm. have fewer items to deal with. And like, you know, I get excited. I'm having an identity crisis. Let me level
okay.
with you.
Okay.
I'm having an identity crisis. So
this just got serious.
I feel like. I'm having an interior design related identity crisis.
Did you bring up the idea to do this podcast so that you could ask me your questions?
Yes, totally. I'm like, I don't know, design one? I don't care. Here are all my questions. No, I was just talking about this with my sister-in-law. Okay. I feel like I got on this minimalist bandwagon after I read the KonMari book, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So I got rid of everything. I like, sold all my clothes on Instagram and I'm like, and we moved in the process too. Like I just like, okay. got rid of anything I could possibly part with, which was still good. I purged, and like the rule of KonMari is does this spark joy, and most of it didn't really. It was mm-hmm. kind of just stuff I sort of was filling space with.
I had the book and I've still yet to read it.
Did you purge it because it wasn't sparking joy?
It wasn't sparking joy.
So you donated it.
I said thank you for what you could have done.
I have
goodbye.
I have this joke in my brain about, you know what doesn't spark joy? All the people who work the donation centers. They're like, thanks, KonMari. This doesn't spark our joy. Anyway, so, because I mean, I donate a lot of stuff, and it was not terribly organized when I donated, and I feel really bad for those
That's
people.
Like kitchen stuff in swimsuits.
Yeah. But anyway, so I think I went into this really minimalist phase, and even, like, I read articles on, like, utilizing your cabinet space, and they're like, one easy way to utilize your cabinet space is, like, get things that match, because if you get a matching dish set, they all, you know, stack very easily, and if you get a matching teacup set, it all matches, and I just kind of, like, I got rid of everything, and I had a set that matched, and then I started having, like, a little bit of remorse about it, because I feel like there's, in my brain, I have two sides of me that are kind of competing, and one is this minimalist who's very practical, and I have three kids, and I just want to be able to get the thing I need, and not have cups falling all over the place when I open the cabinet every time. And I think there's some joy in having free space and things like that. But then there's another part of me that's a little bit of an artist and a little bit of a collector and a little bit of an appreciator. I enjoy travel. I enjoy, like, seeing handmade
and
items.
And you like pretty things.
And I like pretty things. And so then, like, I go to Shaylee's house, and she opens her cabinet of mugs, and I don't think there's I don't think there's a single two
Disclaimer. There aren't, but
that are the same.
Jonathan collects coffee mugs from every country he visits. So we have like 100 coffee mugs.
And they're beautiful. And like they make you feel excited when they hand you one because there's a little story behind it. And it kind of feels like there's freedom in that as well, because like I almost got to the point of minimalism where like for Christmas, like someone made me something and I felt almost like,
ew, this doesn't fit
this
anywhere.
Isn't the one, this isn't gonna stack. This isn't gonna stack with my mugs. Like my sister-in-law's a potter. She makes all these beautiful handcrafted things. I want her handcrafted things now. Like I'm having like minimal remorse in regards of like if I was a collector,
but
I could just throw in one of her mugs.
A minimalist. I think there's balance in
an
everything.
Edited minimalist?
An edited
An edited collector.
Well, I think that yes, I do. And I think that I'm like mini hoarder if I'm not careful. Because I'm like, but I want it. And Jonathan's like, if you bring one more piece of furniture you found in an estate sale, our floor is going to fall through. So that's, you know, I have that thing that kind of makes me, I like the things even when I don't need the things and I can't do anything with the things. I have this aspiration to like, I'm going to do something with it. Like I feel for like the people on Hoarders when I'm like, but she might do something with those paper clips.
Someday.
You don't know that.
She might need them.
Yeah. And so, but I think the key is finding the things that spark joy. And for you, if organization and having coffee cups that stack perfectly spark joy.
Right.
Then that's fine.
Until I get a beautiful mug for Christmas and then my joy is gone. And I'm going, no, I have 10 that stack perfectly and this one beautiful hand-thrown one that I'm like, where do you go in my cabinet?
Put it in the special place.
Marie Kondo, where does it go?
Thank you for this coffee cup, sister. I appreciate it.
I do.
I'm donating
it. But I don't want to donate it.
I'm just kidding.
It's
beautiful. No, totally keep it.
And I want to.
I would rather have nothing that matches in all things that I like.
Yeah, that's a good tip.
Because I'm a minimalist of all things that I like.
And I think that's true. For the record, listeners, she claims she's a hoarder. If that is true, she's the most organized hoarder I've ever seen in my life because your house is extremely edited.
Thank you.
The Coco Chanel quote, as you can tell that you've taken that to heart. It's just that the things that you have kept, none of them match in a great way.
Yeah.
They all coordinate. Okay, so then second question.
Yeah.
How do you advise a listener who, like you said, maybe has a husband who does weigh in a lot. Like my husband had a lot of surprise, I call them surprise opinions.
Where you're like, oh my goodness, you care about this
a lot. Oh, good thing I have the receipt. yeah, I think there's a learning curve in probably early marriage, but then surprises, even 10 years into marriage, where it's like, that pillow cannot stay. Like, you know? So do you have any tips for how you guys deal with some of your disagreements?
Yeah. And if I had a nickel for every time I'm like, but I'm a designer. This is my degree. You
see, I don't have that.
With me. Well, he does not care. He's right. Like, okay, you're fine. No, it's not. I think it's good to remember, even though a lot of times the wives are the ones that control the design of the house, it's both of your houses and you're both living there. So, like, give him a break. And if he has a good opinion, even if it's not a good opinion, if he has a weird opinion that's like, no pillows at all on the bed, no pillows at all, you know, you're like, well, okay, there's usually a compromise in there. And a lot of times, like, there were those little, I don't know, circus light bulbs, the little circular light bulbs that are really popular now. But I wanted to hang some out of our little, like, foyer, what do you call that, little vestibule courtyard area outside. And Jonathan was like, no. And he tells the story the same way I am currently. And he was like, no. And I had to be like, come on, just let me do it. Like, let me do it. And if it looks terrible, we'll take it down. And he was like, we just kind of had this little back and forth. finally, he was like, okay, whatever, hang it, and if it looks stupid, we're taking it down. He, like, loves them, and it's his favorite thing, and every time someone compliments him, he'll be like, I didn't want to do it, and Shaylee wanted to do it, and I let her do it. So I do think sometimes they just have trouble seeing the vision. So I think talking it through, and, like, when I first met Jonathan and then we got married, I moved into his house, and everything in it was beige, like, dark brown, light brown, beige, dark brown, light brown, then dark brown rug, then like light brown
artwork. That's Jared's dream, I think.
Yes, the whole house. And it was, and I remember being like, he has such good taste when I was like young and in love.
Right.
Because it was like, he has the thing from Kirkland's that's like designy. But then I moved in and it was like a slow process. So if it's a new relationship and you're just learning how to like mold your styles and you know, you haven't been, you're newlyweds or whatever, I think that it takes time, so you don't dump it all up on its head at one time, unless you truly have a guy who's like, I don't care, do whatever you want. But, you know, it takes time of, like, slowly adding your brightly colored, adorable patchwork quilt pillow, and slowly adding in the, you know, mid-century modern bright orange chairs to your dining table or whatever.
All right, well then, counter. I got a counter for you. What if he has, like, an object or a piece of furniture that is terribly important to him that doesn't match your style at all? Is this where you can lean on the mix the styles and hope it blends in?
Yes. I was going to say, you can't get rid of it if it's terribly important. Hopefully it's not like, I have some friends that it's like a grandpa's, like, you know, pool table or something that's like massive giant, and giant. So I think I know what you're talking about, Katie. Yeah, yeah. It's not as bad as you think. It's just like a display chest. Yeah. But I think that you can mix and match. And some of my favorite pieces in my house, like I got my grandma's emerald green, like velvet chairs. And if Jonathan would have been like, I don't know what I would have done. I'd been like, mirror the chairs.
Wait,
that doesn't make sense. Me and the chairs. Or no chairs. But
I'm leaving the chairs here and I'm going.
I say mirror the chairs and he's like, you done.
Dang so,
it. Yeah, you win this one. No, but yeah, I think you can kind of mix and match. Mix and match styles, mix and match pieces. And if it's really terrible, everyone has a guest room or a basement, you know.
No, I don't have a basement or a guest room, Shaylee.
You don't. You have three kids.
I have three kids.
I'm about to not have a guest room either, next kid.
That's true. Well, everyone has a basement and a guest room.
Everyone has.
Except for me.
Luxurious extra space. Or anybody who lives, like, not in the Midwest. And not as much space.
They're like, I literally have 300 square feet and a giant pool table that my grandpa made.
I have a one-bedroom apartment and it costs more than your mortgage.
Yeah.
Times two.
That's actually a fact, guys. Missouri, we're sorry. I'm sorry, everyone who doesn't live in Missouri, because the real estate.
I'm not sorry. Move to Missouri.
Move to Missouri. There's plenty of space.
Don't complain.
Shaylee's got.
Move here. We got
just tons of guest rooms. So
I've
come
got
stay
like
with her.
All of the guest rooms.
Okay, so that's amazing. I guess with my empty room, I'm gonna try to figure out my style a little bit. I'm gonna pin some.
It's gonna be good.
I'm gonna pin some inspiration photos learn. And then I'm gonna read through the Domino book to kind of get some style guides.
Sponsor,
and then,
also sponsor.
And then I'm going to, I don't know, like decide, I guess,
thing.
Neutral paint because I want bright colors. And then slowly remind myself that I don't have to have it all perfect.
No.
And that I can slowly fill the space.
Slowly fill the space with pieces that matter.
And that my husband's cabinet isn't as bad as I think.
It's actually kind of cute.
Oh, don't you dare.
I kind of like it.
Okay, that's good. That's good tips. Be patient. Okay, so do you have anything else to kind of like...
Wrapping it up with a little bow,
yeah.
I'll just say that your surroundings really do affect your mood, and especially if you're someone who doesn't leave the house during the day.
That's me.
Right. Put some time, and if you're house shopping, oh goodness gracious, make sure there's good natural light, you know, find good windows, and make it a space. There's houses I walk into and I'm like, yeah, it's fine. And then there's houses I walk into that I'm like, I could stay here all day.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not big and luxurious. It's just like, this has a good feel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so your environment affects your mood. And so create something that you love. And some people truly do not care. And they could have the most basic, like, whatever, apartment grade, beige nothingness,
right.
no design at all, and they truly don't care. And
right.
If that is you, then forget everything you just heard.
You probably didn't listen to this podcast if that's you.
But if it's truly not you, then like don't worry about it. Yeah. Like it's okay if your house, if that's like not your your jam to, you know, make pretty things. But so if make it's something you enjoy, make the space.
Make the space that you love. And if that's an Italian chef saying ciao Bella.
Then ciao Bella.
Then ciao the heck Bella.
Ciao.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect. That's good.
That's it.
That's perfect because we are just in time for our brand new segment.
Oh, I'm excited.
This is actually ideal because we talked about DIYs on this podcast, and I know you guys already heard our audio DIYs. So this is a different version of our audio DIY, and this is called DIYs for the Busy Mom because
I love that. Sometimes I just get so busy.
Thank you. Because I have three kids, but I still want to participate. I look at these beautiful pins and these Instagram crafters, and I'm in such awe. And so I tried to figure out is there a way to participate in these DIYs and still have time for my kids and not, you know, DIYs that don't take too long. So, okay.
This is perfect.
So, I've got supplies here.
Okay.
And I'm just going to go ahead and tell you guys a little bit.
Do you break it down step by step?
Yeah, I do.
To make it easy. Okay.
Yeah. And if you need to pause any of these steps, feel free.
Wait, what are we making?
Okay. So, today we're making a Nate Berkus style woven wall weaving.
Oh, I can't wait.
Okay. Okay, so step one.
Mm-hmm. I'm taking notes.
You're going to go ahead and get in your car.
Okay.
Okay. Step two, drive to Target.
Okay.
Okay. Step three, three through six is just, okay, so you're going to go to the Nate Berkus end cap.
Okay.
And he's got a...
Aisle 017, I think.
Yes. He's got a woven wall weaving for sale.
Okay, I think I've seen that.
Yeah, it's like $25, I think.
That's not bad. That's really not bad for supplies.
Okay, so then step seven, you're going to go ahead and buy that.
Do you put it in your cart?
Put it in your cart.
That would have been a big one to leave out. Sorry.
Okay, put it in your cart. Step eight.
Okay.
Purchase it.
Buy it.
And then step 9 through 12, you go home and you put it on your wall.
Oh my gosh, that one's not that bad. I think I could do that one.
And that's how you do that yourself.
The Nate Berkus style.
Right.
Woven.
Mm-hmm.
Wall weaving.
Exactly. So,
can you believe it? I love it.
Thanks.
It's unbelievable.
One more.
I'm weaving.
Let's weave this podcast.
Let's weave our viewers on that.
Shaylee and Katie, the podcast, would like to apologize to the following people. People who have faux brick in their apartments. People who use splattered paint decor. Anyone who owns black furniture. Anyone who doesn't have a basement. People who decorate with 70% DIY and only 30% store-bought. We'd like to apologize to Target, to Nate Berkus, and also to Domino Home Magazine. None of these brands were used with their consideration.
And we're out. Thanks so much again for listening on some home design tips. Hopefully some of that was helpful. If not, email us. We'd love to hear from you and give us any suggestions, questions, or tips. Our email is shayleeandkatie@gmail.com. Also, you can find us on iTunes and leave a review. We would love your feedback. Our favorite one for this week is from Andrea0428. Her review is "All I Ever Wanted from a Podcast, but didn't know it, because I didn't even know I had a podcast app until 2 days ago. Heart emoji, heart emoji." Well, Andrea, that makes two of us. We love reading your feedback, so find us on Instagram and email us any questions you have. Next week, Katie is going to be talking a little bit about getting out of a creativity rut. I love to hear Katie talk, obviously. We'll see you next week.